by old friend Tom Gentile. And Tom lives down in Tampa, Florida. He is a Red Sox fan that's been relegated to purgatory. Although I guess you did this of your own accord, right, Tom? Tom, originally from Springfield, Massachusetts, and went to Springfield College, went to Franklin Pierce, where I first met him back when we both had hair. But you did it to yourself. You moved down there away from one of the best baseball towns or best baseball areas in the country to a place where baseball is an afterthought. Go ahead.
I got to say it is to the general fan of Major League Baseball. You know, there's complaints obviously about the stadium, and that's one thing that that the whole Tampa area has been very involved in for the past 2 years. So it's been a kind of a struggle on the field for the Rays, and but as far as baseball in general, the whole thought process of it is that there's they want growth, they want building, they're trying to put a new stadium in. So that's kind of what's been going on.
Yeah, but Tom, they want to build a stadium down there. How can you justify? And this has got to be the problem that the taxpayers are going to have to deal with. How can you justify building a new building and spending hundreds of millions of dollars when you're drawing 10 to 12,000 people a night? Or do they believe that the new ballpark is going to change that and the fan base will grow with a new ballpark?
Well, I think, you know, a few lessons have to be learned from what Miami did. Miami, go back a couple of years just before they built their new stadium. They said, oh, hey, you know what? We need a new stadium. It'll draw people in. And it did for the first year. And now you look at the stands in their new stadium, and it's not
right.
I'm not sure it's at the expectation of what they want. The thing that the Tampa area has is they've got Jeff Vinnick. And Jeff Vinnick, if nobody's familiar, is the owner of the Tampa Bay Lightning. He has resurrected the whole Tampa area not just for hockey, but for all sports. He's grown the city. He's put a lot of his own money into the neighborhoods, building buildings. And of course, they brought a great product with them. Obviously, Boston Connection. Phil Esposito is the vice president of the Lightning, and of course, Vinnick is an old Fidelity guy from Boston. So that's kind of my connection down here to keep it.
Right.
But as far as Tampa goes, you know, they're hoping that they, because right now where the stadium is, where Tropicana Field is, is not where people want to go on a night by night basis. The neighborhood just isn't there. Where they want to put it, in a place called Ybor City, it's up and coming. It's vibrant. It's alive, and it's on the Tampa side of Tampa Bay. Break out a map and see where the Tampa Bay Rays are playing. They're not even playing in the same county.
Right.
They're playing over in St. Pete. So, as far as getting people to come out to the games, you know, they're hoping that you put it on the Tampa side and with everything, shops and all that stuff, and more of a city atmosphere. That they'll bring people in. Now, I mean, I was at the game last night, and obviously more Red Sox fans than Tampa Bay fans. You know, I still got to give people, you know, the Tropicana Field and the Rays some credit. They put in a new turf throughout the field. Now, the last time I was up at Fenway, every time I go to Fenway Park, they're expanding, you know, behind center field, and you got more places to, you know, more space to watch, you know, to have a beer and more concession. I mean, the concessions at Fenway are second to none. But that's kind of what they're doing at Tropicana Field. It's just that you're not seeing anything really other than new turf on the field.
Well, but I guess there's only so much you can do, you know, with a stadium, Tom, that it's a dome. And look, I know in Tampa, you've got to have either a dome or you've got to have a movable roof because of the weather in the summertime.
Right.
I mean, look at you guys. Right. The game started last night. There were some massive thunderstorms going on outside that you could literally hear on the broadcast on Nesson. You could hear the thunder inside the stadium. So,
if that was an open stadium, that game wouldn't have started until 10 o'clock.
Right.
Because, I mean, and that's the whole thing, though. Don't forget, come June 1st, which is right around the corner, that's the start of hurricane season down here.
Right.
So I mean, yeah. I think a retractable roof is good because, you know, the evenings you're going to get the temperatures down into at least to the low to mid 70s. Which of course you guys want that during the day,
it's going to be 90 here today. Take it easy.
Oh, is that right?
Is that right? Yeah. It's supposed to be warmer here than it is in Tampa today. So take that. That happens probably about once a year.
Yeah, and I was going to say, what's it going to be, 50 tomorrow?
Yeah.
I mean,
50
on Sunday? Yeah, no.
But my point, I guess, is that, you know, it's great that they put the new turf in. It's sadly needed it. The problem is that stadium, just because of the way it's constructed, where it's constructed, as you said, not in a great neighborhood, it has no soul. I mean, it's just it's like an it's like a hospital, for God's sake, in some respects. You know?
Well, what they're doing because you're only seeing, and they, I don't know what the stated, I don't know, I don't know what the announced crowd number was last night, but
10,000.
That's about what they had, other than opening day and the last game of the season. That's about what they averaged.
Right.
And the only reason they get, you know, full stadiums those days is because they give stuff away. But
okay,
you know, I went to opening day here because it was against the Red Sox, and I got a seat cushion from their inaugural year, which I'm sure were left over from 25 years ago. I mean, it's purple. I mean, I don't know where they get these.
Wow.
But anyway, yeah. So my point being, Tropicana, they're using that field they're using that stadium. Obviously, there's a couple of bowl games in it.
Yep.
Every winter. I mean, you want to go to during the off season. The boat show is there.
Really?
Now think about what the boat show, you know, the boats are being wheeled in there. I mean, it gets torn up easy because they have to get income somehow.
Right. Right. Well, they're not getting it during baseball season.
They're not getting it during the baseball season. So, home improvement. Yeah, let's have those guys.
Right.
You know, let's have those guys come in. So yeah, that's how they're making ends meet. And of course, you know, if you look at it, they're getting funding, you know, from the better teams in the league that are, you know, cost sharing and all that kind of stuff. And believe it or not, the television contract down here, the Rays just signed a new television contract with Sun Sports is part of Fox Network. It's incredible the amount of money that they got for a television contract because just nobody wants to go to the stadium.
So you think people are watching the games at home? They're just not going to the stadium.
They must be. If you know, I mean, unfortunately, I don't have the details of the contract. You can Google it or whatever. But yeah, the television contract is immense, and I think now it's from now through 2025 or something.
Okay.
And but it's, yeah, it's, people are watching the game. I mean, I live 45 minutes away from the stadium, and there's people walking around with Rays t-shirts, Rays hats,
okay,
Rays flags from their homes. They like the baseball. They don't like where it is.
So you're thinking that the new stadium makes sense, because if there is that much interest, that the attendance numbers should increase.
Yes, I would agree to that. You know, you kind of say, well, you know, it's something that you're not going to know until you actually see it happen. But
that's a big gamble.
It's a multi-million dollar deal. Yeah.
Well, they said that Red Sox series in Tropicana, it was Pete Abraham in the Boston Globe had a story this morning. The series drew 33,000 people. The Red Sox have already had 12 games at Fenway Park that have drawn more than 33,000 people, individual games. So, you know, you could make a point, Tom, that Tampa is a hockey town, which really is weird considering you're in Florida, but you could almost make the case that Florida, that Tampa's more of a hockey town than it is a baseball town.
Yeah, go figure. But Lightning games are sold out. For 2.5 seasons now, I think every game's been sold out. I mean, Amalie Arena only holds about, you know, a little less than 20,000. I think it's 19 and change. But try to find a ticket. You know, the only thing good about that is, like, for example, when the Bruins come to town, season ticket holders are gonna say, oh, I hate Marshawn, and you know, I don't want to watch those guys here. Somebody else take my tickets for that game. So, I mean, but season tickets, I'd say at least 2/3 of that building are season ticket holders.
That's impressive. You're an old goalie yourself. So back from the day, I remember that. You must have loved watching that young kid Vasilevsky play this year, especially the run that he had in the playoffs. He was ridiculous. He almost single-handedly got them as far as they got in the playoffs.
Oh, you know, I couldn't state it better. You know, it's funny, when Ben Bishop was here just a couple of years ago, I mean, hail to Ben Bishop. I mean, everything revolved around him. He goes to Dallas and say, okay, we got Vasilevsky. Everybody says he was good. You know, he's only played maybe not even a quarter of the games of the season, kind of as a backup role. The kid's amazing. Now, if you go on, I mean, I go on Thunder, you know, a couple of websites, Facebook type stuff, like Thunder Nation, and Vasilevsky is, I mean, he's 23.
Yeah.
He hasn't even come into his own yet.
Right.
I mean, this is really, you know, last season and a half have been the most that he's played. And, you know, people are saying, oh my God, Vasilevsky is burnt up. Dude, do you remember when you were 23? Did you get burnt out from anything?
No.
He's not burnt out. The kid's good.
Well,
the Lightning have a great. The Lightning have a great mix of age and experience. So they're going to be good for a long time.
Well, especially, and it shows you how important a goalie is. I mean, look, the Lightning were the top scoring team in the NHL this year, and it looked like they were going to steamroll Washington in the conference final, but then Holtby gets hot the last two games, and they can't get one past him. And
you know, the whole thing there is, I don't know if you watch game 6 and 7, but
I did.
I mean, Holtby, how many times was he really tested? I mean, look at the scoring chances that Washington had compared to the scoring chances that the Lightning had.
I thought in game seven, Tom, I thought that the Lightning put a lot of shots on him. And I actually didn't think he was very good, because, I mean, he was making stops, but the rebounds were coming so far away. If the defense in front of him wasn't able to clear the puck, he was in trouble. Because as a goaltender, you don't want to let those rebounds get that far out.
Yeah, you can't have back to back shutouts in game 6 and 7 when you're back up against the wall, and not give credit to your defense. I mean, Washington took the first two games here in Tampa, and we're like, okay, what went wrong there? And I'm looking, I'm watching these games. You know what? They back check and stick check all game long. Games 3 and 4 up in Washington, what do you think Tampa Bay started doing? Back check and stick check,
yep.
And they wound up winning those games. I mean, game 6 and 7, you can't get more competitive than that. I mean, really, especially game 7, right? It was more back and forth. Tampa had a lot more chances in game 7 than they did in game 6. But just like you said, I mean, rebound, and that's the thing. Holpe was giving us rebounds.
Yep.
They just, you know, we couldn't get to them. Or we'd get to them and there'd be a Washington stick on ours and we can't get the puck. There was one, the wraparound. I don't know if you saw the wraparound play.
Yep. Yep.
Oh, my Lord.
Yep.
There was a Tampa Bay stick was right in the, was like right in the crease, but it just got, you know, it just couldn't go in. I mean, I give him credit.
Well, one more thing before I let you go, you know, and it's funny. I kind of make fun of the Tampa because I watch the games on television, and you know, Tom, yeah. There's so few people in the stands. You can literally hear individual people talking sometimes in the stands from the crowd mics, and it's, you know. And by the way, you guys have a couple of hecklers down there that need to be shot. Guys that just are so loud that you can hear every word they say.
The problem was that they gave out those stupid cowbells on the first game. Anytime last night, you know, let's go Red Sox, you know, and all of a sudden you get a section of people because they're all wearing Red Sox stuff and they're saying, as soon as you start hearing that, all of a sudden the cowbells start going off. And it's like, okay, that's all they can do. See, that's the thing. The fans that are going to the games now, the Tampa Bay fans, they don't know what to do at a baseball game.
Right.
They don't make noise unless somebody puts it on the screen out in center field to, okay, you guys can start clapping now. So they clap.
Well, maybe.
And the scoreboard says, stand up, stand up, stand. All of a sudden, the Rays fans start to stand. It's like, don't you guys. Let's put it this way. The last Red Sox game I went to, which was the first series.
Yeah.
It was a close game. Kimbrough was in. For the save. Now you know as well as I. Two outs in the bottom of the ninth.
You're standing up,
and you're standing up. I've been to Rays games when that happened. When that's the situation.
Yeah.
They just don't know what to do, unless they're told what to do. I mean, the baseball fans are really they must be home watching the games because they're not. They're just not in the stadium.
Well, and there's enough northern transplants down there. Got half the population down there has got to be from the north. You would think that they'd know what to do.
Oh yeah, well yeah, but you're only going. Yeah, they're copy. They would only be able to copycat, and because the Red Sox fans, the out of town fans know what's going on. There's this place. I'll try to be quick. There's this place right next to the stadium called Ferg's, F-E-R-G. And that's like, if you go to Fenway Park and you go to the Cask and Flagon or something just before game time,
yep.
That's the place where you got, there's liveliness, but it's all from people out from the visiting team.
Okay.
I mean, I'm going to get something to eat, or I'm going to the bar for a drink. And everybody with a Red Sox shirt on, you're getting a fist bump or a high five.
Right.
It's like I'm back in Boston. It's like, it's intense.
Well, you know, and I tell you what, and before I let you go, the last thing is, it's got to be fun for you too, you know, growing up a Red Sox fan, growing up a Bruins fan, to be able to see those teams down there. But not just that. Because of where you live, I know your father comes down to visit, and yep. You know. By the way, it's great to see pictures of him. I know your dad's an old high school principal, it must be great. By the way, that high school no longer exists. How about that?
Yeah. Well, you know, we're still looking for the picture that was up on the wall of my father when he was a principal. Like, what'd you guys do with his picture?
I'll see what I can find out for you. But it's got to be great for you, moving down from Boston from the Massachusetts area down to there to be able to still enjoy, you know, your hometown teams and still be able to do it with your family, because everybody wants to go to Florida, you know, and so you're still able to, and I guess with the internet and cable now, it doesn't really matter. You can be a Red Sox fan anywhere you live.
Yeah, I mean, and that's basically, I mean, I can get Nesson on, I mean, I get Nesson on my TV at home. You know, it's just for the season.
Yep.
But yeah, and I mean, and with the Patriots play so many primetime games anyway.
Right.
I don't have to. That's pretty darn easy to follow them.
Well,
and, I mean, it's like my father just turned 90. He lives down here for about 4 or 5 months of the year. My son moved down here. He's a police officer in Pasco County now. So. One of my cousins moved down. Their headquarters of his job is in Tampa. So we're trying to get some more New Englanders, you know, that'll go to games and such.
Well, it's got to be fun. Listen, I'm gonna check back with you during the season. You're gonna be my Florida guy. You're gonna be my go-to guy.
Sure.
So when something big happens down there, brace yourself because I'll be calling.
And don't expect too much out of the Buccaneers. The talk down here is great, but look at the division they're in.
Right,
they got three playoff teams in front of them.
Yeah, they've got a long road to hoe.
Which is a shame because with the weather down here, you're playing everything year round. Next time we ought to talk more baseball because you know what, baseball down here, even though the Rays don't draw. Baseball in this area, you've got the Florida State League, you've got, you know, people from, I mean, all of the spring training facilities are being used for minor league baseball. So,
yep.
So it's, you know, it's, you want to see baseball, you can see it on just about any level.
Tom Gentile, listen, thanks very much for a few minutes this morning, and we'll be in touch during the season.
Hey, that'll be great.
All right, take care, my friend. Good to talk to you.
Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Tom Gentile here on the Wake Up Call on Sports Country. And